Good morning. Welcome to the Lord's house this morning. It's an interesting perspective from up here. I just love the Red Sea attire. Pretty awesome. I offered to lend Pastor Dennis a Chiefs jersey to wear this morning, but he didn't think it matches tie. So I hope you all have a safe and fun time enjoying the Super Bowl or whatever your afternoon plans include today. Please do sign the friendship register at the end of your row and pass it on to your neighbors. This helps us serve our church family and visitors each week. We're grateful for your support for our Sunday school attendance challenge. It began several weeks ago. Thank you to everyone for your financial contributions to our youngest among us. We're within $100 or so of our goals, so there's a flyer in your bulletin with further information about how to donate to that ministry. And we're grateful also for the information that many of you have provided as we're putting together a new church directory. If you haven't already done so, please help us by filling out the information form in your bulletin and dropping it in the offering plate later in our service. And also by signing up for pictures to be taken in the fellowship hall during the next two Sundays, February 19th and 26th. And as we're entering the Lenten season, we welcome you to attend a brief Ash Wednesday service on Wednesday, February 22nd at 6 o'clock. And then our Lenten suppers with a brief devotional will follow on each Wednesday evening in the month of March. And a reminder about the CWF retreat, the Disciple Women's Ministry Spring Retreat, will be March 10th and 11th of this year. And registration is due no later than February 22nd. There are forms back on the back table to fill out to register for that event. All right, may we now begin our service of worship with our call to worship. Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning, everybody. I invite you to stand for the call to worship. Come, praise the Lord, all who serve in his temple. And praise the Lord.
May the Lord make heaven and earth.
Bless you from Zion. We'll now sing hymn number 622, all stanzas of Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah.
For a moment of prayer. Loving and merciful God, as we begin our worship here at Berry, we do pray for your guidance. We are grateful for your Holy Spirit, who we know is ever present with us as our guide and comforter and counselor, and provides us with the knowledge and gives us reassurance that you are indeed with us. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege to gather here in your name and to celebrate the living presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. As we pray in your holy name, amen. We take a few moments to greet and welcome those around us this morning. All right, please be seated. We'd like to invite our kiddos to come up front for the children's sermon as we sing the first verse of Tell Me the Stories of Jesus.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the tales of the sea, stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
Good morning. How are you guys this morning? Is everybody good? Yeah? Good, good, good. What do we got coming up in about 2 days? What do we got? Let's see, Miss Dagny's dress reminds us of what? Hearts, what is it? What a Valentine's Day, yeah. Yeah. So here's your Valentine. See, what does it say? It says, Happy Valentine's Day. Yes. And I stole this from downstairs, and ladies, I will put it back. The ladies who decorated downstairs. It was too perfect. Valentine's Day. What is Valentine's Day all about? We celebrate love, don't we? We celebrate love. We give Valentines to people that we love. So, what you got for me, Mr. Roman? That's right. We love different people different ways, don't we? You don't love your pet the same way you love mom, do you? No. No. You don't love your brother and sister the same way you love your pet. Correction, sorry. We love different people differently. You don't love your little sister the same way you love this sister, right? I mean, Iom is totally different. They're totally different, aren't you? So we love them different because they're different. Do you know what? That's how Jesus loves us. God made each one of us to be different and special. And he loves us because we're different and special. We're exactly the people that God made us to be. And Jesus loves us just that way. Loves each one of us the way we are. Yeah? Shall we have a little prayer? Okay. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to each and every week come and worship you and give our love and receive our love from you. We thank you that you love each of us for the special person that you made us to be. Help us to always take that love and share it with everyone around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, go.
Thank you, Kathy. As we go to God in prayer, we rejoice in the fact that Larry Pitts was again able to be with us in the first service after that very lengthy absence due to the surgery that he went through. We want to lift up Lita and Kimberly Piquet in prayer. They normally attend the 8:30 service. Both of them are home dealing with the coronavirus, and we pray that their symptoms will be mild and they'll be up and running again soon. We remember Susan Hanks in prayer. She is now home and continuing her rehabilitation. We are just praying that she's going to be able to recover the ability to walk. She is experiencing some incremental benefits, and we're very grateful for that and hope that continues. Lenard, we're delighted you're here this morning as we keep Vicki in prayer, as she is now back in Mississippi and going to be going through some rehabilitation for the shoulder concerns she has. And we also keep your granddaughter, London, in prayer, for sure. Jerry and Betty, bless you both. So good to see you. Again, we want to lift up the Jerry's search for a kidney transplant that's now being transferred to the research hospital. And so we lift you up in prayer in the midst of that journey. Jerry, bless both of you. Good to see you. We also keep Amy and Charles Roberts in prayer and grateful that they were able to be in worship with us earlier today. Rihanna Ralston, we remember her in prayer. John, we keep you in prayer every week as well. Among family members, we want to lift up Nellie, the sister of Gladys Aller. Nellie is in the hospital in Lima, Peru, and Gladys made the flight to Peru just yesterday, as we certainly keep Nellie in prayer as she's dealing with pulmonary fibrosis. And bless you, you guys, Ed, and all of your family. And we want to lift up Joyce Osborne's brother-in-law, Matt Morrow, Lana Witten's granddaughter, Samantha, and her daughter, Amy, and Linda Stevens' family, remembering her sister, Donna. And we're also lifting up Olin, the father-in-law of Linda's daughter, Lisa. And in Perla Mora's family, we keep in prayer her daughter, Anna, and niece, Michelle, as well as their friend, Patty Nelson, and among others whom we've been remembering certainly for many months. So may we bow our heads before the Lord's presence in prayer this morning. Holy and gracious God, we offer you worship and praise for the privilege to lift up your holy name this Lord's Day morning. We pray that the songs we sing and the meditations of our minds and hearts may honor your kingdom here on earth. As we've lifted up the names of persons very dear to us, we are who are dealing with very personal concerns. We are also very mindful of the tens of thousands of your children devastated by the earthquake and aftershocks that have rocked southern Turkey and northern Syria. We lift up to you the many who now mourn the loss of more than 28,000 of their loved ones and friends. We pray for the rescue and recovery personnel as we give thanks for their devotion and skills. We pray for the region, as so many who have faced such devastating loss were already were refugees. May your spirit offer comfort and strength as endeavors will be underway to rebuild lives from the prevailing rubble. And may there always be a measure of hope as we seek after your loving presence. For Psalm 34, verse 18 tells us that the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. And Psalm 147, verse 3 declares, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. And may we all find assurance, as Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10 tells us, to fear not, for you are with us. Be not dismayed, for you are our God. You will strengthen us. You will help us. You will uphold us with your righteous right hand. For the hope that resides in your presence, we give you thanks, O God, as we also recite the prayer Jesus has taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
We wanted to share a little bit of spirited music with you today, so we hope you enjoy. Temple, talking with the elders who marveled at his wisdom.
Amen, amen, amen.
See him at the Jordan where John was baptizing and saving all the sinners. See him at the seaside, talking to the fishermen and making them disciples.
Amen, amen, amen,
marching in Jerusalem over palm branches in pomp and splendor. In the garden, praying to his Father in deepest sorrow.
Amen. Amen.
Led before Pilate, then they crucified him, but he rose on Easter. Hallelujah, he died to save us, and he lives forever.
It was only through the due diligence of State Department clerks John Graham, Stephen Pleasanton, and Josiah King that our nation's most prominent and precious documents, such as the Articles of Confederation, the Declaration of Independence, and the Constitution, were saved during the War of 1812. The clerks purchased coarse linen and hastily made bags into which they stuffed the archives, loaded them into horse-drawn carts, and carried them away from Washington, D.C., which later was subsequently destroyed by the invading British Army. For more than a century after the War of 1812, these precious documents were precariously housed in often damp and vulnerable conditions in several public buildings, including the Patent Office, the Library of Congress, offices of the state, war, and naval departments, and then during World War II in Fort Knox, until finally they were housed in the National Archives, constructed in the 1930s, providing the security and prominence these documents have always deserved. The prominence of the Lord's Supper is often neglected in our time, as many contemporary faith groups no longer provide the Lord's Supper in Sunday worship. Yet our Lord Jesus proclaimed the significance of his sacrifice as the final sacrificial lamb for the forgiveness of humanity's sin, as he said to his disciples at the Last Supper and also says to us today, "Do this as often as you will in remembrance of me." Thus, in the Christian church, we preserve the prominence and significance of Christ's sacrifice by offering the Lord's table in worship every Sunday morning. This we celebrate as we prepare to receive the bread and cup of the Lord's Supper by turning to our communion hymn. It's number 423. We'll sing all stanzas of "Become to Us the Living Bread." As we gather at the Lord's table, we remember the words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. May we bow our heads as Doug leads us in a word of prayer, please.
Our Lord and Father, we thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for our church and all the blessings that you bestow upon us. But we're most grateful for your son, Jesus, who died on the cross and rose so we would have salvation. As we take this bread and the wine, let us be renewed in our faith in him. In this we pray, amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning. The Apostle Paul, who endured many abuses at the hand of those who opposed his ministry, certainly also knew the blessing of God's comfort, as Paul used his own suffering as motivation to care for others who were suffering. For Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the same comfort which we ourselves have received from God. Despite whatever trials we may endure, may we also see our tithes and offerings as an avenue to comfort many in their time of need, as the 10% tithe of all of our congregation's offerings always reaches out beyond our walls to serve the needs of others. We offer our tithes and offerings," as Gail first leads us in a word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, we are so blessed today to be in your house of worship. We are with family and we are with friends. We thank you so much for everything that you give us, and we are grateful for this opportunity that we may give back. Please bless these gifts and the givers. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord God, we pray this offering is used for your glory, now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. Well, I can see that a lot of you are already prepared for the Kelsey Bowl that's going on later today, right? But I must admit, since I get the perspective up here of the chancel area, the pulpit side of the sanctuary wins the prize for the most red. So we're going to have to work on this side, folks, you know. Actually, I must admit, I wandered around trying to find myself a red instead of a maroon-type sweater. I hunted and hunted. I never could find one. I guess they're all out, you know. But one of the things I've noticed, though, is that red has gotten really expensive in Kansas City. Wouldn't you agree? We're really just kind of hoping it gets more expensive with the hopeful results we have for the game, right, for this afternoon. I don't know about you, but I just pray for Patrick's safety and welfare. That's what I pray for. Every time I see folks break through that line, whatever game it is, I thought, oh, no, leave him alone. as a pastor, I just know too many gentlemen I've known over the years. Bum, knees, legs, whatever it be, you know, shoulders,
from playing football. So please keep them safe, Lord, whatever be the score. Scripture text this morning. I'm reading from 2 Chronicles, and I'm also trying to convince you about why it's so much easier to read a story, especially in the Old Testament, in one of these books. Because the story I'm going to read to you, you can read in a much more clearer detail in our children's Bible story book. It's on pages 298 and 300. For those of you that have already gotten that book for yourself, and I know some of you already have, and many, many thanks to many of you who have already made contributions of our $750 goal that we have to get these books and other books as prizes for our Sunday school attendance among our children and youth. I know that we're well over the 600 mark at the beginning of our services today. So we really hope today we're going to top over that 750 mark and reach that goal as we're inspiring our young folks to attend Sunday school between now and as we approach that early portion of the month of May. But here, we're reading from 2 Chronicles chapter 34. And when you see all these complicated, hard to pronounce names, and as I fumble through a few of them, you can see why it's easier to get the story from a children's storybook. Verses 14 through 21. While the money was being taken out of the storeroom, Hilkiah found the book of the law of the Lord, the law that God had given to Moses. He said to Shaphan, "I have found the book of the law here in the temple." He gave Shaphan the book, and Shaphan took it to the king, who is, of course, Josiah. He reported, "We have done everything that you commanded. We have taken the money that was kept in the temple and handed it over to the workmen and their supervisors." And then he added, "I have here a book that Hilkiah gave me." And he read it aloud to the king. Then we move to verse 19 and on. When the king, meaning Josiah, heard the book being read, he tore his clothes in dismay and gave the following order to Hilkiah, to Abdon, son of Micaiah, to Shaphan, the court secretary, and to, I forget his name, A-S-A-I-A-H, Asaiah, I guess, the king's attendant. Go and consult the Lord for me and for the people who still remain in Israel and Judah. Find out about the teachings of this book. The Lord is angry with us because our ancestors have not obeyed the word of the Lord and have not done what this book says must be done. Then the key section for today, chapter 34, 29 through 31. King Josiah summoned all the leaders of Judah and Jerusalem, and together they went to the temple, accompanied by the priests and the Levites and all the rest of the people, rich and poor alike. And before them all, the king read aloud the whole book of the covenant which had been found in the temple. He stood by the royal column and made a covenant with the Lord to obey God, to keep God's laws and commands with all of his heart and soul, and to put into practice the demands attached to the covenant as written in the book. Now, if you don't want to have to stumble through all those complicated names of people whom you don't even know, read the children's storybook. May we pray. Merciful and gracious God, as Josiah, in his desire to be a faithful follower of the one true God, rediscovered your word conveyed through Moses, may we also rediscover your word in our time through our faithful pursuit of your will. For it is in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You know, we've all been there. We get so caught up in such frenzied activity and distractions that we lose it. We can become so involved in some sort of entertainment on the television or some game on our mobile phone that we, for example, lose track of time and we find ourselves late for an important engagement. We can become so caught up in so much frenzied activity that we lose important documents amid the piles of unpaid bills, mailbox advertisements, and magazines. It's only at the last minute that we realize that we've lost the paperwork for our child's doctor's visit. We've lost the registration for our car tags. Or even worse, if you're like me, you've lost the car title. I must admit, having to go get another title is not a lot of fun, but you can do it. We can become so overwhelmed by a large crowd, and we are so enamored by all the sights and sounds of a big event, be it a concert, be it a ball game, be it an air show or some other grand event, that when we look down, we realize that our child, whom we thought was by our side, is gone and nowhere in sight. And if you've ever been there, that will make your heart sink. At the biennial air shows in Lincoln, Nebraska, the audiences were often between 150,000 and 200,000 people a day. We members of the Civil Air Patrol, we sponsored what we called the Child Find Program. When the parents and guardians came up to the gate with their children, we said, we've got this program. We'll tag the adult, and we'll also tag every one of your children with an identifying factor that's the same. Oh, no, we won't need that. We're okay. Well, I want to let you know, yesterday we found 14 children this way. Oh, yeah, maybe we ought to do that. And what was striking is that in the course of a two-day event, we reunited over two dozen children with their parents or guardians. Because it is so easy to be looking up at something, doing something, or your child starts moving away, and before you know it, you don't even know. Your child is gone. Yes, we can become distracted by the glitz and glamour of that which is trendy. We can lose track of time. We can misplace our keys, our mobile phone, important papers. We can even lose our child. And then there are also those times when people can lose that which is of most importance, like the spiritual guiding principles of one's faith, or the moral values that govern one society. It can happen when people simply forget the experiences, the stories of their heritage that once defined them as a people. And so it was for the Hebrews, not too many centuries after the time of Moses. About 1250 BC, Moses led the Hebrews out of Egypt into the wilderness, helping these people rediscover a living relationship with the God of their ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, was so important that God only allowed 50 days to pass in the wilderness before God took Moses up to the Mount of Sinai and communicated the law summarized in the Ten Commandments. Even as slaves, the Hebrew people could remember that the Hebrew numeric value of 50 had always symbolized freedom. God was freeing the Hebrews from the influences of the Egyptian pagan culture, and so instructing them in ways to behave that would honor God as the one true God and help them experience a community that offered up justice and mercy for all. The temple in Jerusalem was then completed about 293 years after the law was given during the reign of King Solomon. That was about the year 957. But as the centuries continued onward, for another 347 years after Solomon's temple, and for a total of 610 years since the institution of the Ten Commandments, When it came to matters of faith, the Hebrew people had wandered far away from God by the time that King Josiah, who's mentioned in our scripture reading this morning, became king of Judah in 640 BC. Through a succession of ungodly kings, increasingly corrupted priests and civic leaders, and heavily influenced by the pagan religions of the Canaanites, Solomon's kingdom by this time had been divided in two, the north and the south. The teachings of the law were not just a faint memory, the teachings had been long forgotten by most Hebrew people. Solomon's temple had been stripped of much of its gold and finery, which was used to enrich the corrupted leaders or fashion pagan idols. Pagan statues were situated throughout Solomon's temple, and pagan cultic practices had replaced the religious practices conveyed by God through Moses. Yet, with young Josiah in 640 BC, there was a hint that the now ancient godly ways of the Hebrew faith would be rediscovered. Although he had been born in a corrupted family and became king at the age of 8, young Josiah was taught and guided by the priest Hilkiah, who was, of course, mentioned in our text, who was one of the faithful few who still worship the one true God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Because of Hilkiah's teachings, young Josiah was convinced that the ancient ways of the Hebrew faith were the way that the Hebrew people should go. As the Urgemeyer's Bible story book says on page 298, he sought the Lord and did what was right. King Josiah ordered the removal of all the pagan idols and worship practices from the temple. Money was raised to reconstitute the beauty and glory of Solomon's temple and to dedicate it to the one true God. And as the Urgemeyer's Bible story book continues, while the repair work was going on, the high priest cleaned the rooms in the temple. There, hidden away beneath some rubbish, he found a strange scroll. He looked at it carefully, then unrolled it and began to read. It did not take Hilkiah long to recognize this scroll as the book of the law. Long before, God had given Moses the words, and Moses had written them down in the book. Actually, of course, we know God's hand wrote on the stone tablets, but we're talking about him writing in the scroll, if you will. Moses had commanded that the book of the law be read to all the people once every 7 years, but the people had not kept this command, and then the book was forgotten. Many biblical scholars believe the scroll discovered was, in fact, the writings of what now make up the majority of what we call the fifth book of the Bible, last book of the Pentateuch, which, of course, is the book of Deuteronomy. When the book of the law was read to young Josiah, he expressed remorse and repentance before God by tearing his clothes and weeping bitterly, which was in the culture an expression of remorse. Josiah then began an even greater period of reformation among the Hebrew people, as our text said from 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verse 29 through 31. King Josiah summoned all the leaders of Judah and Jerusalem, and together they went to the temple, accompanied by the priests and the Levites and all the rest of the people, rich and poor alike. And before them all, who read the book? Text says the king. We know it to be King Josiah, who is leading the people on a spiritual renewal and revival. The king is. And by golly, people will follow their leaders wherever and whatever direction leaders lead. Right? And here we see this young king earnestly seeking out God. And in that seeking, through his people, he rediscovers rediscovers the most significant document of their heritage. And he stood by the royal column and made a covenant to the Lord to obey God, to keep God's laws and commands with all his heart and soul, and to put into practice the demands attached to the covenant as written in the book. True repentance and spiritual reformation took place in Judah as one young king earnestly sought out the one true God of his ancestors. And the book of Deuteronomy was rediscovered. Yes, it really is easy to lose what's so very important, spiritually especially, when one is distracted by the ways of a pagan world around oneself. But with earnest teaching and humble seeking, it can be rediscovered. We, like the Hebrew people of Josiah's time, have become so enamored by the glitz and glamour of our society that we are so very much distracted by godly ways. We know so little of the Bible that we can't even tell whether a name is in the Old or the New Testament. How many of you heard of King Josiah? How many of you actually have heard of Josiah's reform? One, two, three, a few of you, but not as many Chiefs fans as I see. You know, one thing about it, everybody will know, you know, when you're walking around, everybody knows why you're wearing red. I mean, you can't avoid it if you've been watching the news. That's what the only thing's been on the news all week long, right? But if you lift up Josiah's name, how many folks know about Josiah? Because we know so little. So where are we? Let us take our children's Bible storybook. Oh, I can't do that, can't do that. And yes, you can. Because you got to get the storyline first. Get you a children's Bible storybook. Read those stories. Know them backwards and forward. Know them in the chronological order. Try to put it on a calendar so you can kind of get an idea that, yeah, Abraham came before Moses. And they both came before Andrew. Or that Andrew was, in fact, one of the apostles. That he had a brother. And he had a couple of cousins named James and John, right? You learn those basics just by reading the Word of God. But I say, oh my goodness, I try to read and I'm so bogged down with all these names and things that are so complicated. Yep, because it's a piecemeal of information, just like a bunch of newspaper articles all stuck together in a scrapbook. It's difficult to read, especially in the Old Testament. But get your Bible storybook and read the stories and God's stories and his relationship with other people in centuries past will bring new meaning into your life today. And by the way, plug, this is the advertisement. Help us get our books for our children too, right? And so I ask you, where are you today? Do you know Christ? If he's not your Lord and Savior, today is that day that I know you can come forward and become part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. Today is the day you can come forward and accept Christ in a way that I know your life will indeed be transformed. And I want to celebrate that during the early service this morning, Mark and Tracy and their son Jackson McMahon and Tracy's mother Paula all came forward and joined our fellowship. And for Jackson, it was the day for him to make his confession of faith. And we're looking forward to his baptism in the weeks ahead. But you know what? It was February last year. I forget the exact Sunday. It was one of those snowy Sundays, you know, where folks are saying, oh, should we be open? No, maybe we ought to close up. No, we're going to open? No, we should close. I said, no, we're not closing. That family came, and one of our young couples came that Sunday. And both of those families have been some of our most faithful people
ever since that February Sunday last year. Praise God. So maybe this is your day. Come forward. Accept Christ. Our hymn of invitation this morning, it is hymn number 625, Precious Name. Let us sing stanzas 1 and 4, please.
Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then where you go. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. At the name of Jesus bowing, falling prostrate at his feet, King of kings in heaven will cry, precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven.
Thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning. And a reminder again, we're certainly seeking out that information for the new directory. And we do need you to go ahead and sign up, if you will, to get pictures taken. Just downstairs in the fellowship hall, we've got a curtain we're going to use as a backdrop. We just hope to get everybody's pictures done so we can use those to create a new digital directory that will ultimately also become a paper copy we can pass out to you all. May we pray. Lord God, as we depart from your house, your Spirit empowers us to learn more of you through your word and to be drawn ever closer in our relationship to you. Guide us in the journey as we go about the task of this new week. For it is in Christ's name we give thanks. Amen.